Welcome to Happy Hour, Happy Wednesday, everybody. And I did promise that we weren't going to spend a whole damn 3 hours on today's show doing the whole Hutch thing over again. Oh my God, what are we going to do? How are we going to replace this guy? You know, basically what a lot of Monday turned into and what I imagine a lot of people are still really kind of thinking about. But I did say that that's not how we're spending the entire show today, and I am absolutely sticking to that. Don't get me wrong. That being said, there is at least a few things around that that do kind of have to be discussed here briefly before we move on with the fun stuff for today. One of those being that the interesting timing of a move this team decided to make, in that they decided that the day after Hutch was basically ruled out for the season, that Ali McNeil's getting signed to a long-term deal here in Detroit. Which suggests something to me, and that something is that Brad Holmes ultimately is very comfortable, I guess, with the talent that they've drafted and acquired, and it really, sadly to me, would seem to back up the assertion, this combined with the signing from someone off Cincy's practice squad yesterday, would seem to indicate that they really are going with what Dan Campbell said on the radio yesterday, that being that don't expect them to swing a huge trade to land somebody to replace Hutch, that's just not going to happen. But I feel like with that, there is at least somewhat of a caveat that might show itself in the next two or three games. So, of course, the NFL trade deadline comes up after the Lions go and play Green Bay on the, when they play them, on the 3rd of November. Not long after that, that's the last game before the trade deadline. And looking at it, you've got two very big matchups coming up against division rivals. And it's entirely possible that, despite what I said on the air Monday about this team, this division is not sending four teams to the playoffs, I do think that they're more than likely going to send at least three. And this might be the best division in all of football. But you have two very key matchups coming up before the trade deadline. Titans, no one's really worried about a 1-4 garbage squad that may or may not have a living being at quarterback. But you have the Vikings this coming Sunday. You have the Packers coming up on November 3rd. And I could very well see, if those two games don't go your way, if you don't end up winning both of them, or if you get embarrassed by one or the other, that maybe that sort of thing could prompt Brad Holmes to go out on the trade market. I think it would take something like that. Now, if they go out and take all three of these next three games, then they probably just roll the dice this way with whatever patchwork combination they're starting at defensive end for the rest of the season or until Hutch gets back, for better or worse. And it would at least be a lot harder to make an argument that for the worse, if they manage to win two games against really good division rivals. But you got to think, if they drop one of these and just get that much further back to the Vikings in the division, you got to think a move has to be made, right? Again, we're not going to spend a bunch of time going over who that person is. I mean, obviously, we ran down a whole list of names on Monday. Don't really want to do that again. Sorry. Not really particularly interested there. You can go back and listen to the podcast of the show or go wherever it is you find most of your sports info. But I think that's the difference. Depending on how the next three games go will ultimately influence whether they are going to stay the course with practice squad flyers or whether they're actually going to try and replace Hutch. A lot to do today. A lot more fun than this. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. And in news absolutely positively nobody asked for, the NFL is apparently talking about ultimately expanding and trying to get more money for their series of international games. Yes, the games that required 9:30 start times in London that, quite frankly, like, no football fan is really all that into or really asked for or wanted. Of course, the league is currently in the midst of an 11-year, $111 billion deal it first signed in 2021, but it also has the ability to opt out of that deal following the 2028 season, and it's the NFL, so I fully expect that they will absolutely do just that. Roger Goodell apparently said that the league could play as many as 16 games over season to season. They're going to play five this year, eight in 2025. So they're talking about adding a separate rights package just for those. And I honestly almost feel bad for whoever ends up with that, because they're wanting teams to pay, or networks to pay, multi-billion dollars for a series of games that is going on before, well, half of the people who watch football are even awake in the morning. But this is a league that I'm honestly, quite frankly, shocked that they haven't tried to expand football beyond their current Thursday, occasional Saturday, Sunday, and Monday window. So I guess I should expect that when there's money to be had, that they're going to take full advantage of it. But even worse yet, apparently he's also down with the idea of London hosting a Super Bowl, which would just be the ultimate slap in the face. I mean, are you kidding me? We left this country 225 years ago for a reason. Now we're trying to give them our biggest and most cherished American sports tradition. I'm sorry, but I'm absolutely positively not here for any of that. Not having it, not down with it.
Oh.
No. Bad enough that we have to have all these London games overseas. Bad enough that he's always trying that there's been talks for years that Jacksonville Jaguars might ultimately move to London outright. We're not giving them a goddamn Super Bowl.
No.
No.
No. I mean, is this Goodell? I got him.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what his end game is. Does he owe, like, the British mafia some money or something like that?
Does Britain have a mafia?
Oh, that probably everybody's got a mafia of some sort. That's ridiculous. If he gave the Super Bowl to London, he might as well be out of a job.
Should be.
Because, I mean, the commissioner has to answer to the owners, do they not?
Yeah.
And so that means all 32 owners would be like, WTF, man. What's going on? Why we're losing that revenue? Because it's not just the game. It's everything around it. I mean, it's that city that really does. I mean, Detroit really saw a financial boom
from our Super Bowl, yeah,
2006 for Super Bowl 40. So, I mean, that would be a big slap in the face. He might as well. It'd probably be. He'll announce his retirement. This is my last season, and the Super Bowl is going to London.
What a legacy to have.
You might as well go there and stay there, bud.
Please do. Yeah. Like, we'll keep our Super Bowl, but you can absolutely take our commissioner. Please and thank you. So I know we're all kind of down in the dumps about the Lions and the Hutch stuff and trying to get ourselves, despite that, psyched up to go and face a division rival this week. But
yeah.
I wanted to bring you something a little bit, you know, more lighthearted and know that your football team did this to this man. You and your Detroit Football Lions not only ruined an 82-year-old man's birthday, which would sound absolutely terrible if that man were anyone other than Jerry Jones. Like, I don't feel bad about that. He deserves to have every birthday of his ruined for just being a general POS. But it also led to this quite interesting exchange on a Dallas radio station the morning after the game. So, of course, he's one of the few owners that will actually go and seek out media at, like, all times. He has a weekly hit on the station that carries the Cowboys games down in Dallas.
That is a weird thing. I've never heard of that.
Well, it's Jerry. Jerry Jones never met a microphone he didn't like. Like, he is the most self-promoting, self-aggrandizing owner in possibly all of professional sports. So it's not surprising that he'd want to go and, you know, blow smoke up his own rear end on the radio in the morning.
Sure.
But things took an interesting turn on Monday, shall we say. Here's some audio for you. Enjoy.
Seems like
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me. talk about. This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay. Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
Well,
now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners, and I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning. And we can spend a lot of time going over zigging and zagging. One of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody has ever analyzed is by the Cowboys. It was an idiot that did that. So idiot things can turn into good decisions. Okay? Smart things can turn into bad decisions. The facts are that when you make one, you don't really know whether it's going to be good or not at the time. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Jerry Jones here.
We're trying to go ahead and ask me questions, but don't ask those questions, not those. Congratulations, Lions fans. You did this to this man. I love it. I'm 110% here for it.
If we didn't lose Hutch in that game and everything, and that if that didn't happen, this would be the tent pole for the entire season.
It really,
I mean,
truly
they
would.
They whooped on quote unquote America's team. And I mean, okay, I'm going to take a moment, just this millisecond of the show of our careers, to kind of tip the cap to Jerry Jones. That grouchy old codger. I mean, he just really laid into those guys. You don't hear too many owners like speaking out like that.
No, you don't. But and there's a reason you don't, because they probably all would do something similar. Like the idea of threatening to fire the morning show on the radio station that carries your team. Not that he has the power to do that. Like, that's not how that works.
He's got a lot.
He doesn't own the radio station.
No, he doesn't. But I bet you if he leaned on some of the advertisers or he talked to their GM or their program director, they'd probably be like, hey, guys, why don't you go see what Hackensack, New Jersey can do for you?
I don't think they would, though. I mean,
they'll come to Detroit.
Because we saw the Lions try and do that locally, and it didn't work. They may have left the station, but they came crawling back. Over, you know, wanting someone fired over making incendiary comments about the team, or in this case, having the audacity to ask questions. How dare they?
If you know better than we do, you come to this meeting with 32 different owners.
Which I would love to see that happen, because I maintain that whoever these quote-unquote yahoos in the morning are, that I guarantee they couldn't make worse football decisions at this point in his career than Jerry Jones, a guy who just bought a team and named himself the general manager and won't cede control of it to anybody, despite the fact that he hasn't made a good football move in 30 years. And quite frankly, anything he's done since firing Jimmy Johnson has been incredibly bad.
Right.
Basically been the Toronto Maple Leafs of the NFL.
They really, truly are.
Really good at getting bounced in the first round every year. I'll give you that.
Yeah, they do. It's them, not so much the Yankees, because the Yankees are actually doing well. But you get the arrogance of the team and the fan base.
Yeah, it's really quite something. And even better yet, Jerry Jones went and doubled down on it after the fact, like after going and threatening to fire people over asking him questions. He went and talked to...
How dare you ask me questions, radio host?
Yeah, he went to the Athletics, Dan Rossini, and he had said... And by the way, what prompted all this was that one of the morning guys was asking Jones about the lack of moves in the offseason and how it resulted in what happened. Like, I don't understand how that wasn't a fair question. So that day he talks to Diana Rossini at The Athletic and says, quote, I don't know that I would go as far as calling the volume connotation is yelling, okay? But the facts are that if I'm going to be grilled by the tribunal, I don't need it to be by the guys I'm paying. I can take it from fans and take it from other people. I could take a lot of pride in how fair and how much I try to work with the media, but I was a little frustrated there today. I'm still confused about the whole thing of he's paying them to do the interview. Like, because I'm pretty sure that 105.3 The Fan pays for the rights to the Cowboys games. That's traditionally how this works. The media pays the whoever for the...
Well, do they do the call of the games? Because I know that Ken Cal, I heard him speaking about his interview process with Mike Ilitch back in the day.
Well, yeah. They are employed by the team themselves. Like, a lot of some of the production staff and, like, the announcers are employed by the team, but they're not paying the radio station to carry the games, last I knew. I don't believe that's traditionally how that works.
No, I don't think so. I mean...
In fact, the morning, the guy who asked the question tweeted back, is this real life? I wish Jerry Jones paid me. He insults us again. We've had back and forth over way bigger things in our 14 years. I truly don't understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I like Ken and Mickey. They must work for the Wings or they work for Bally. I don't know. I guess
they are employed by the team.
Gotcha.
Like the team has that. But these aren't even the guys that call the games. They're just the morning show hosts on the flagship ship station of the team. So they are not in any way, shape, or form being paid by Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry Jones. He's 80-something years old. He just thinks he owns everybody.
He really does. Like, this man literally seems like he thinks he can buy people. Like, that is... I hate to tell you, dude, you're not quite in the right time frame there. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
No.
Fun at your local alternative solid state radio.
Whatever happened to them? I know Nate went out and do his own thing.
Well, let's see. Jack Antonoff has literally produced, I think, every pop star of the last decade at this point.
Really?
Like all the Taylor Swift stuff. There's like... he's probably like the most in-demand producer in pop right now.
Really?
Oh yeah, and then Bleachers is still doing things too.
Oh yeah.
So he's a rather busy fella, wow, as you might guess.
I did not know this. Hey, did you watch any of the highlights from the games? We had another goalie goal last night.
I didn't watch any hockey last night, no sir.
Yeah. So we had Philip Gustafson from the Minnesota Wild scoring a goal. I can't remember who they were playing, but it's always kind of fun to see.
Yeah. You just love to see it.
Oh, it's so funny because, like, so he scores a goal and he jumps up and then he goes up and does, like, the whole fist bump and the bench thing. I mean, he scores a goal. Why not? And
right?
Then the memes that are coming there, they're just chef's kiss. I just said his name. Philip Gustafson now has more goals than Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid combined.
I love it. You just hate to see it.
Okay, it was St. Louis Blues. Is it me, or is it just like we're starting to see more goalie goals recently? It used to happen every once in a while, and I am going to rake you over the coals. I'm going to have you guess some of the goalies that have scored a goal.
Oh, of course.
But it just seems like it happens more often.
Yeah, it does. I mean, didn't we have one last year?
We had one, yes, one last year, and then the year before that, and then 3 years before that. But I mean, it just seems like quite often. Let's have a little bit of fun with this. I want to see you twist in the wind just a little bit.
You, of course you do.
You don't have to go in order. I'm not going to do that to you. But can you name some of the goalies who have scored a goal?
Ozzie's got one, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. March 6th, 1996, against the Hartford Whalers.
Oh, yeah, yes, the Hartford Whalers.
Oh, Hartford Whalers. I love watching the footage of that because it's just like he aims for it and goes. side point while you're mulling around in your head. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe back in the day that maybe coaches were like, you know, you're to keep the puck out of the net. I don't want you worried about scoring. Because I wonder if, like, this Philip Gustafson, wonder if he got a little bit of a tongue lashing from the coach.
I don't know about that necessarily. Like, you're never going to complain about, you know, getting an empty net goal if the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, I mean, sending it down the ice and then, you know, they get an icing and they get a chance to, you know, rest. And so, I mean, I guess we'd have to talk to an NHL coach. And who wants to talk to those people? All right, so give me some names of some goaltenders.
Doesn't Hextall have a few of them?
Oh, yes. He has two when he's playing for the Flyers. He has one in the playoffs.
That's impressive in itself.
Yep. Once, December 8th, 1987 against the Boston Bruins. And then in the playoffs, April 11th of 1989 against the Caps.
Nice. Brodeur's got at least one or two, doesn't he?
He does. That's Brodeur has got to be my one of my favorite goaltenders of all time. One of my favorite goaltenders is on here.
Hasek?
Nope. It doesn't even never played for Detroit. It's just he was just such a you know what.
Cam Ward?
No, we're talking this. Okay, I'm going to give you the date, and you can tell me. It happened November 28th, 1979, against the Colorado Rockies.
1979.
He played for the New York Islanders.
Oh, Jesus. God, I'm drawing a blank on this.
Ward number 31.
Who the hell played goal for the Islanders in this? You know, you think I should...
He was part of that whole four-cup run.
Okay, then that was... God, was it... Billy Smith?
Yes! Yes, there he is. Hasek took a page out of his book when somebody's skating up the ice, he's on a breakaway, he's got his head down, and the goalie just comes and just levels him. I love that. Remember seeing the footage? We've watched it here at your house. Hasek just leveling Marion Gaborik.
Yes, we have.
Oh, my God, that was beautiful.
Fantastic, really.
Oh, you're naming some good ones. I got to go home and watch some goalie fights or something.
Who had the one last season? Was it, it was Tristan Jarry from the Pens, wasn't
it? Tristan Jarry from the Pens, yes, absolutely. November 30th, 2023, against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right. And then Ullmark has one to his credit.
Yeah, you're cheating.
I am not cheating.
No, you're right. Linus Ullmark against the Vancouver Canucks on February 25th, 2023. But then we had a three-year break. I mean... 3 years prior to that.
Yeah. Oh.
It happened on January 9th, 2020 against the Blackhawks.
that's hilarious. Who are the goalie in question play for?
The Nashville Predators.
Oh, that's got to be Rene then.
Pekka Rene. And then, of course, October 19th, 2020. 13, Mike Smith scored against Red Wings. Moving on.
we're just going to overlook that one completely.
Oh, wait a minute. Cam Ward did score. I'm looking at this. Cam Ward did score against the New Jersey Devils on December 26, 2011. Happy Boxing Day, everybody.
Okay.
We're just to speed things along here. We got Chris Mason for the Predators. He scored on April 15th in 06.
Doesn't what's his face with the Sharks have one?
Evgeny
Nabokov.
Evgeny Nabokov, yes. March 10th, 2002 against the Canucks. Nicely done.
Yeah.
And then there's a goalie with a lot. I don't think he ever has a cup, but I've always respected this guy. Played for the Montreal Canadiens, scored a goal on January 2nd, 2001 against the Islanders.
Played for the Avs?
Nope. Yes, at one point he did, but he was playing for the Canadiens when he scored that goal.
Oh, okay, playing for the Canadiens.
Canadiens. Les Habitants.
Ah, God. So probably someone really French sounding. So like Jose Theodore.
Yes. Excuse me, Jose Theodore. But judges... we'll allow it. Okay, then Damian Rhodes. I don't even remember that cat.
I don't even know who that is.
He scored against the Devils when he was playing for the Sens on January 2nd, 1999. And then that's pretty much it. But it just seems to be happening more often than me. I mean, when I was playing NHL 2001, my goalie scored all the time. But, you know.
Well, yeah. I know Adam Harahuck's the greatest NHL EA Sports GM
EA
of all time.
EA Sports NHL 2001. I mean, Hasek had a hat trick that year.
My. I believe the quote from Wayne Gretzky is when he's asked about playing on the greatest team of all time. He said, and I quote, "I never played on Adam Harahuck's EA Sports 2001 campaign."
Yeah. No, he didn't. Because I think he was retired at that point, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's still technically it counts, I suppose.
Do you believe, I mean, was that a real quote where he said, "I didn't play for the 02 Red Wings"?
I don't know.
Like, is that just like, you know, us people messing with us?
I don't know. Like, I would actually, well, let's see if we can get to the bottom of this.
Because, I mean, while you're looking that up, I mean, the great one, 99 there, he played for some fantastic teams in that four cup run with the Oilers. I mean, Yari Curry, Grant Fuhr, Paul Coffey, Mark Messier was in there. I mean, he, and then of course he himself, quite well,
right?
Quite well.
Yeah, I am looking to see this, and I have not.
He might have. He's never been really a self-serving kind of guy. I think, in fact, I think he's kind of embarrassed a little bit that the fact that 99 is a retired league round.
Yeah.
I mean, the teams he played for, sure. But why is the the number retired for the Vegas Golden Knights? They're like, he never even played in our barn.
Right? He wasn't even in the league by the time we came to into existence. This is BS, man.
The next GM, I mean, excuse me, the next commissioner takes after Bettman is tarred and feathered. He's going to come in and say, "You know what? 99 is all around. You get a 99 and you get a 99.
I have not been able to track down the...
I don't think that's a real quote.
It must not be. But I got a lot more responses about what would have been a what-if trade for the Wings to acquire him back in the day.
Oh, Jimmy Devolano, I'm sure he was... When they were really trying to get him out of Canada and into a U.S. market, I'm sure Bettman was doing everything he could to... He was schmoozing all of the teams. And it was just... There was a lot of moving parts. So much so that I think there's a lot of speculation that the fact that the Kings went from that god-awful purple and yellow uniform to the really cool silver, black, and white uniform that we're used to,
yeah,
was because of Gretzky. He's like, I can't play in these sweaters. These sweaters. I was like, oh, we'll change them. I gotta have Marty McSorley. We'll bring in Marty McSorley. Come on, we'll just make this happen.
Oh yeah, that would have actually happened. Like, so no, apparently he told Spit and Chicklets a couple years ago that at the time where Edmonton was looking to move him, that he. And apparently his wife really wanted him to go to Detroit, of all places.
And this was in 91. So why? I mean, the Wings were starting to show a little bit of life, but they were still far ways away from competing. I mean, they didn't really start showing any kind of life until, like, what, 94?
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't tell me that this wouldn't have jump-started things pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, our... If we would have had Wayne Gretzky, would Devolano kind of not gone with the Russian Five?
No, I absolutely think the Russian Five would have still ended up here.
Russian Five, along with Yzerman, along with Gretzky. Oh, God. Oh, excuse me. I need a moment. I'm clamped.
Yeah.
And Marty McSorley, because you know.
Oh, yeah, you can travel. Don't leave home without him.
Gretzky, that's his plus one wherever he goes.
Exactly. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. So you brought over something rather interesting today.
Yeah, I did. I was over at my 9-to-5 job, and the guy who works the liquor department, he's kind of my dealer. He's kind of got some new stuff for you to track. Come on
over. It's whiskey.
Yeah, and I was like, all right. You piqued my interest, and I was like, and he's okay. So sometimes he misses big time. Like he was trying to sell me on this Elvis.
Oh, whiskey. The peanut butter banana whiskey. So I tried
peanut
that.
Butter banana bacon whiskey.
Yes. So yeah. I tried.
You have
that.
Tried that? Oh,
Rach
see,
and I have.
Why
had
would
it.
You try that? That seems like a Sean no.
Because we didn't have to pay for it.
Oh.
Okay. We were offered a sample of it at a bar out in the lovely town of Port Sanilac. And it let me tell you, it's not the worst thing I've ever put down, but would I actually order a shot of it of my own volition? Also, no.
Okay. So you probably wouldn't buy a whole fifth.
I definitely would not buy a fifth of it.
It doesn't even.
And I bought fifths of Malort, Adam. That should tell you something.
You buy fifths of Malort as a deterrent.
True.
If you don't want people at your house, you offer them a shot of Malort. Oh, hey, man, I'm so glad that my car insurance salesman is here. Here, I got something for you. Here's Malort. You're going to love this. That's all bitterness, nothing, no other kind of attribute to it at all.
Yeah, they traditionally leave me alone after that, which is nice.
So my connection, my whiskey connection, I got something new for you. I was like, all right, what do you got? I said, he said he's got the 70th anniversary release of Wild Turkey. I'm like, okay, I'm listening. 8 years, aged 8 years, 100 proof. I'm like, that doesn't sound too bad. I mean, I like regular Wild Turkey. We've had it in studio. And so I was like, you know what? I haven't bought a good bottle of whiskey in a long time. Time to treat myself. I'm only like 15 days away from having to listen to Christmas music at work for 2 months.
Oh God!
I'm like, I need something to numb the pain a little bit.
So I can promise you won't have to listen to any Christmas music here.
Yeah, well, in sessions I got a couple.
I mean, you don't have to.
Well, I play it, then I turn the volume down. Wild Turkey 70th release, aged 8 years. I've had it. I'm going to go ahead, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. I would give this a solid 7.
I can't disagree with that too much. Like, it's right up there with the Long Branch for me, which is another Wild Turkey product.
It is, but, you know, I think that I like...
This has definitely got a little more kick to it because it's 100 proof, but...
You know what? And a lot of people are like, wow, it's 100 proof. Try this. I don't need my whiskey to really kick me in the head. I like my whiskey to...
No, you've got me to do that.
Yes, that's right. I've got Converse permanently imprinted on the side of my face. It's amazing. I don't need to feel the burn. I don't need to feel that intoxication right off the bat. I just like that. I like the nice, warm feel of a whiskey. So the Long Branch, for me, if this is a 7, Long Branch is an 8.5 easily.
Okay. I will grant you that. I mean, this honestly isn't... It's fairly smooth for being 100 proof.
It kind of... Sneaky, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so...
It does kind of creep up on you.
So I'm going to bring this in on Monday when we're going to get James Tiberius Alt involved. And then I think Drew might be stopping by, maybe or maybe not. I'll see about getting him involved in that as well. Because I think they're both kind of digging it. Jim will probably dig it the most.
Jim might. Drew will drink anything you put in front of him. Let's be honest here.
He'll drink it, but he may like, I can make it better.
Can make this better by adding garbage beer to it.
Yeah, what was that YouTube person that he was following?
Captain Morgan and Bush Light or something stupid?
Well, it was the drunken bartender or something like that. And this guy, and we're going like 2 years for this, but yeah, he was following, Drew was following this guy. And of course, Drew Duffany is the host of the Blarney Hour on Saturdays. It's Irish music from 8 to 9 on Solid State Radio. And he would bring Captain Morgan and Natty Light or Bush Light and mix them together. It's like, oh, you got to try this. You got to drink them together. It's supposed to taste like a chocolate milk. I'm like, who hurt you? What is your problem? This tastes nothing like a chocolate milk. Though, I mean, I know Sean's shaking his head, and I agree. I agree.
Sorry, I'm also partially trying to numb my face.
Yeah.
there's at least five teeth I'm ready to just rip right the hell out of my head at this point, man.
Oh, man.
Not fun.
No, no. Apparently, Solid State Radio doesn't have a good dental plan. But
shocking, I know.
I mean, the price to rip teeth out of your head is actually pretty low compared to all the other dental practices. But yeah, definitely find one that has gas and the shot. There's a lot of places that want to do the shot and not the gas. That's not the place for you.
No, I don't do shots well, man. Like, I mean, I do shots really well. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
But shots in the gum, because a shot in the gum, because I've had some procedures done, and they don't just, like, it's not like an injection or a vaccine. Sorry, folks. Or anything like that. It's, they put a needle into your gum, and then they count to 10. And I had a procedure done where, like, we're going to give you, like, 6 shots. So it's 6 shots. At 10 seconds apiece, that's a full minute of full pain, and you're not going to give me gas. I got out of the chair and walked out. They're like, all right, let's reschedule. We'll get you in a room with gas.
Yeah, Rachel had gas for hers when she got her wisdom teeth taken out.
You have to have gas.
There's no way I can't. Like, I have to. Like,
you
I don't do wonderfully well with, like, pain in a general sense. I mean, sure. Other than emotional, I deal fine with that because, again, whiskey. Mm-hmm. But, like, needles, not really my thing. I get my shots when I need to get them and whatnot, but...
The whole thing is
if
the
I'm
gas.
Taking 6 shots to the mouth, like, you're putting me under.
You breathe in the gas, and then you can take the shots, mm-hmm. and you can be awake for the whole thing. And, yeah, then what's so awesome is when you have the gas and you're breathing the gas, you can actually feel your feet start to float up. I'm not a big old druggie, but I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of understand Jimi Hendrix now. And it's like...
It all makes so much sense,
it makes
man.
So much sense. It makes things so much easier.
Good to know. How I will keep that in mind when I finally get this done once, you know, the Solid State Dental Plan catches up with me. This seems like something I could probably honestly spend the entire rest of the show on. 18 traditions that need to end.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gender reveal parties.
Right. This time it's stuff outside. Like, I feel like we've done this before, but it's all been, like, wedding-centric.
Yes.
Because that's the thing that's come up on this show a lot.
Yes.
Especially in relatively recent history here. These are a little more general, though.
Okay.
And
perfect.
We'll start with the 18th being class reunion. No thanks. I'd rather not spend a whole night pretending I remember you, pretending you weren't mean to me, or pretending I didn't date you so my spouse doesn't give you dirty looks. Facebook is plenty. I kind of agree.
Yeah.
I agree completely,
absolutely.
Actually.
Yeah. You know what? I graduated in 1992. Stop judging me, everybody.
I'm totally judging you so hard right now.
Well, I graduated in 92. It was a great year to be alive. But yeah, I didn't really get along with the people in my own grade. It was the next grade, 93. I hung out with a lot of those guys and dated a lot of them women from 93. But yeah, it's the whole, I don't get along. I didn't get along with people from 92. Why would I go? I went to my 5-year and I had gotten broken up with. So my plus one was my friend Vince, who was from 93. And we had a blast because our class president, she got snockered. And then I never went to anything else. I mean, we had like a... for our 20-year, or was that our 10-year? I don't remember. Our 20-year, there was a class reunion planned for Thanksgiving Day weekend, which is stupid.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that. A bunch of us people who were not the jocks, it was basically the burnouts, we had a pig roast at somebody's house.
That sounds infinitely more fun.
Oh, it was a blast. But then, yeah, my 25-year, my 30-year, I didn't go to any of that.
I've never attended any of mine. So apparently my 5-year ended up just turning into a bar night at Cascadens. Perfect. Like before I was really hanging out there on the regular.
Perfect. You can catch up with people like that.
Yeah, but I also, so this is before I started hanging out there regularly and doing the jam night, doing all the things, and I just really had no desire to hang out with any of those people. Like, yeah. Anyone I actually heard was going. Like, the people I know that I actually like from my grade, my school, I still am friends with and I still occasionally talk to on Yield Book of Faces or see them around at places,
right,
and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, if I haven't seen you since, you know, high school, there's probably a reason for it. Yeah. And let's be honest, there's two things that usually get people out, at least historically for my class, whatever. It's like Thanksgiving Eve at Cascadens and the Lapeer Days beer tent.
Yep. Oh, I mean, I don't know how many more class reunions I need as opposed to the Lapeer Days beer tent. I mean, that's where you really catch up.
That's where you run into everybody. Like people,
everybody.
Everyone you've ever met in your life, you end up running to into at the Lapeer Days beer tent.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why I do one night there at, like, for an hour or two and then go back off.
So we bring up a different idea is with Facebook, you can kind of keep up with everybody. You don't need a reunion. That's why I think they're starting to die out. I mean, there was I'm sitting with Drew over at a local watering hole in downtown Lapeer, and I'm like, hey, you know what's going on next door? He's like, no, it's your class reunion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he graduated from Lapeer West, and I graduated from Lapeer East. He graduated in 93, and I graduated from in 92, just barely. And they combine them now because they're so lack of interest. That's because Facebook, I mean, why would I hang out with you?
Right. You weren't that interesting back then. And honestly, I see you on Facebook, and that's enough for me to not really want to hang out with you in real life.
I tell you what, the one thing, I wish I would have gone out to the my more recent reunions is there was this kid there, and he was picked on a lot. He was a nerd. I actually saw one of the football players pick him up by his head. Apparently now he is loaded. I would love just to see everybody like, oh my God, Jason, I love you. Oh, what were you? You're so awesome in school, man. We should have hung out. Why didn't we hang out? Because you picked me up by my head, you prick.
That seems like a fair reason.
I'm going to go back to my mansion. You got your night shift over at Speedway. Get out of here.
Oh, you're not entirely wrong about that. So, next one is the handshake. We just met, and we don't know what the other person did with their hands that day. Hey, let's rub them against each other.
A post-COVID, it is kind of a weird thing, but yeah. Like I had a guest in studio. I just use the restroom, I wash my hands, and I don't use those blow dryers. I hate them. I hate them so much.
Yeah.
So, he comes up that he wanted to offer a handshake, and I felt so bad, but I'm like, I'll bump elbows with you. I was like, I don't use... So I use paper towel that we keep in the studio.
Same.
But, I mean, there is still...
Those blowers aren't particularly, like, that's not a sanitary thing,
I don't think. It is not. And I hate how loud they are. They just blow everything out of your hand. And they're circulating air from what's already in the bathroom. So when you walk into a bathroom and it smells like, you know what, that's what you're blowing under your hand. It makes no sense. I'd rather use the cloth...
Oh, yeah, that cloth that just goes back through the thing?
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather use that.
Honestly, it'd probably be less unsanitary even.
It is. But, I mean, the handshake is still a timed tradition, so it's a traditional thing.
It's timed? They're timing it now?
A timely tradition. Shut up. You know what I'm trying to say. shut up. And there's... I teach the boys that live in my house, I mean, the proper way to shake hands. You never shake hands with a man sitting down. You stand up, even if it's ever so slightly. It's one pump. Look them in the eye when you do it, and a firm handshake. Nothing too fishy and nothing too strong. There is a whole thing about it because there will be people who will judge you by shaking hands.
You mostly. I feel like that's going by the wayside, the people judging you on your handshake.
Oh, the first time I shook Sean's hand, I'm like, what a jackass.
Well, because I was actually trying to break your hand.
It's a limp fish. No, should it go away?
And probably.
Let's say, you know, we just decide as a society, let's just do the fist bump. I think that'd be just fine because, I mean, you don't really. Yeah, because I'm thinking a lot of times when I've shaken people's hands, I'm like, what has he done with that hand that I don't know about?
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Yep.
Here's one. Let's nix the tooth fairy. It essentially teaches kids they'll be rewarded for losing something.
No, let's keep that. It's the whole losing a tooth is symbolic of growing up. And it's also when a kid loses a tooth, there's a lot of blood involved, and it's just like, oh my God, now I have to readjust how I chew and everything else. This little thing kind of calms people down. I remember I was, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. My brother was like 4, and he wanted me to play with him, and I didn't want to. So he grabbed the bottom of my jaw and pulled down and pulled my tooth out.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was a baby tooth.
Well, that's good.
And so I went to my dad screaming, crying, whining, Nate pulled my tooth out. Nate pulled my tooth out. And Nate's like, he wouldn't play with me. And dad's like, well, you know, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. But, you know.
This explains so much.
But now you'll get a visit from the tooth fairy. I'm like, cool. All right. Have you seen the videos where, like, somebody's, like, half in the bag and decides to, like, leave a dollar under their kid's pillow for a tooth fairy but can't tell the difference between a $1 bill and a $100 bill?
Can't say that I have.
Oh, look that up. Those videos are priceless, unless they're staged, but, you know.
Come on, you know there's
kids, like, looking over there. Wow, $100 for a bicuspid. Nice. Grab the hammer. Let's get a PS5.
Let's get all these things out of here. What are we doing?
It probably pays double for an adult tooth, right?
That's totally how that works.
I mean, the whole idea of, and okay, if anybody has any kind of kids in the room, just cover their ears. The whole idea itself.
If you have kids in the room while you're listening to this show, then that's a problem.
Yeah. Tell CPS we said hi.
Yeah.
If you're telling your kids at this point, the kids know, okay? The kids are on to you. There's no Santa Claus. There's no Easter Bunny. There's no Tooth Fairy. And there's no Donald Trump. No. They're all fake. I mean, so at that point, it's like, oh, you lost a tooth. Hey, here's a fiver. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to Easter morning. I hid some eggs. Good luck while I shake off this hangover. Something like that. So, yeah, the Tooth Fairy, I'm with the idea of the principle of it, but, I mean, we can get... First of all, any kids right now, are you okay... Kids, are you okay with a bunny or a fairy or a big white guy with a white beard breaking into your house?
Those both come up again here in a minute, actually.
Okay, well, then please continue.
The weird thing is, like, also, what do you do with the teeth? Like, they're, I know people will, like, save their kids' teeth, and you people are weirdos. Sorry.
My parents would give me the money or gifts or whatever, still leave the tooth. I'm like, but the tooth fairy left the tooth, and my mom would be like, yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? Throw in the garbage.
Happens sometimes.
Call that. Dad's like, well, you cheated her out. What can you say, son? High five.
Right. Way to game the system. So speaking of the bunny thing, celebrating the resurrection of Christ with colored eggs and jelly beans is one thing, but I've seen very few kids who weren't petrified by the idea of taking a picture with a man in a giant rabbit suit.
Oh, there's a lot of pictures out there of a kid just being upset. Like, we took Joey. He was 6 months old. No. Jeez, wow. That's so weird. He was almost almost a year, and we had him pictures taken with Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. He had so much so that the photographer is like, can we use this picture for our website? Or to advertise that we're here. Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, he was giggling at Santa Claus, and Santa Claus was waving at him and everything else. But then, it's like, my mom and my stepdad, not to be outdone, is like, well, we're going to take him to see the Easter Bunny.
And we hated it.
We saw the pictures. The one picture, he's staring at the Easter Bunny. Next picture, he's reaching for my stepdad. I mean, Santa Claus is a real person. This is a 7-foot rabbit. We need to address this.
Yeah, that's kind of an issue. I'm sorry.
I mean, and there's a lot of people, I mean, there's probably a lot of people who are like, you know, the whole idea of an Easter Bunny really kind of takes away from the whole idea of the resurrection of Christ. And
I guess if you believe in that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I mean, it's like, how are you going to do that? Oh, Jesus left a bunch of nails for you to find.
Right?
Can't do that. So, I mean...
No, not so much.
I mean, okay, the colored eggs...
You're definitely getting CPS called at that point.
I mean, the Easter basket thing, that's fine. the colored eggs, everything else, that's fine. I am still, this day, I can just now talk about this. I am still pissed at my mom because at one point I was like 13, 14 years old. I said, "Mom, you're too easy with the Easter baskets. It's not a challenge. I really want you to really go. I want you to really go for it, Mom. Swing for the fences." And my mother, I don't even know if she put out the Easter basket for 6 years until I moved. I mean, long until after I moved out. All right, actually, she moved out before I did. She never told me where she hid that damn Easter basket.
You never found it, did
no,
you?
No, never did. I was like, for so many years, I just like sit down at the kitchen table, fall on my arms, like, go get it. I couldn't find that damn thing. She's a competitive person. She probably was like complaining that I was saying she was too easy. She probably didn't even hide it at all. She probably went to the trunk of her car.
Got it. Probably. I mean, at that point, that's on you for, like you had to open your big mouth and ruin that for yourself.
Yeah, I did learn some of that.
Not probably the best move you ever made, man.
Yeah.
One more here. Yeah. If you're going to teach your kid not to open the doors to strangers, how do you explain leaving milk and cookies for a dude who breaks into your house once a year?
Well, yeah, you don't have to open up a door. It's already there.
He just breaks in. That's way better.
The opening doors for strangers or answering the phone. That is a funny thing because we had a landline back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents said, you know, when we leave you home alone, there was times there was like a 3 hour window. There was no mom, no dad. We were just kind of there. I was in charge, believe it or not.
Jesus, why they left you in charge?
Yeah, and only once there was a fire. Let's say if somebody calls and they ask for mom and dad, just say they're in the shower. Okay, my mom leaves. Somebody calls. Is your mom home? She's in the shower. Guy called 3 hours later. Hey, is your mom there? Oh, she's in the shower. He's like, you better go check on your mom. Where's your dad? He's in the shower. Never mind. Figured it out. But yeah, the whole cookies and milk and everything else. I mean, that's a cute thing. But I mean, let's really face it. I mean, kids really kind of wear out of that by 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. You know what also we're doing?
Whiskey and beer?
No, but we are doing Elf on a Shelf.
Why?
Because my brother and his wife bought us a Elf on a Shelf.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a great time. And the other kids are probably gonna be really upset because we never did this for them. But
well, we love this one more.
Brought to you by Children Psychology.
What? Your kid's going to be in therapy for the next 20 years? Well, now we know why.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is Happy Hours. We get set to get out of here on a Wednesday afternoon. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original something or other is up next.
That's right. Local hockey tips. We're going to teach people how to hit people without reaching for the numbers because we know that's bad. Goalies, fair game. Find out more later on.
Sessions, local original music. It's next. All being well. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.